The following message is by Dr. Matt Thornton, pastor of North Bryant Baptist Church. For more information on what we believe and for many other helpful Bible lessons, we encourage you to visit our website at northbryantbaptist.org. That is northbryantbaptist.org.
You will open your Bibles this morning to the first psalm. The first psalm. When I was a young boy, one of my favorite cartoons was called He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. And He-Man was the main character. He was the hero. And if you know what he looked like, he was a physical specimen. His muscles had muscles. And he was such a bowed up and ripped guy that he could just fight and whip the bad guys. And I liked watching the show, just like tons of other 4 or 5 year old boys during that time. But eventually my parents stopped letting me watch it because I started to fight my little brother, Steven, like I was He-Man and he was the bad guy. He was younger than me. He was smaller than me and I didn't need to hurt him. He's a lot bigger than me now. I could still take him. If I want him to know I said that, I'll tell him. I was being influenced by that cartoon. And it changed the way I behaved. And so my parents felt that the best way to handle that was to remove the influence. Whether we realize it or not, we are influenced all the time by so many things. TV shows, movies, songs, social media, the people you spend time with, things you read. This world is full of things that influence us. And ultimately, if it influences our mindset, it will influence our behavior as well. One pastor said, whatever shapes your mind shapes your life. So we need to be very careful and cautious about who and what we're listening to and who we're spending time with. This morning, as we look at Psalm 1, we will see that if we follow the influence of God, we'll be blessed. But if we follow the influence of this world, it will lead to destruction. Let's look at Psalm 1. The psalmist writes, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The psalm begins by describing what a blessed man does not do, but let's first consider just what it means to be blessed. Because we don't need to fall into the trap of always equating physical blessings with the idea of being blessed. I don't mean that physical blessings don't come from God. They absolutely do. But there are a lot of people in this world who have tons of stuff, but they're not blessed. And there are a lot of people in this world who don't have a lot of stuff, and they're so blessed. Most of the time when this word blessed was used in the Old Testament, it was used to describe the blessings and the joys that came from spiritual truths. In Psalm 32, the Bible says, blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven. In Psalm 40, blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. In Psalm 94, blessed is the man whom you discipline, O Lord. Those are all spiritual truths and spiritual realities. And so being a truly blessed person has much more to do with spiritual realities than any number of things that you own. if you only equate being blessed with temporal, worldly stuff, like cars or houses or Xboxes or money or whatever, you live a really sad and unfulfilled life. None of those things last. None of those things matter when it comes to your eternity. But spiritual blessings like forgiveness and peace and joy and contentment, those are priceless, and they don't go away. They're not dictated by your circumstances. They can and will be enjoyed forever. So this blessed person is definitely not one who's sad and unfulfilled. In fact, the word blessed here is actually plural. You could say something like this: oh, the blessednesses. It doesn't really make sense in English, but you get the idea. Oh, the blessednesses of the man that doesn't do a certain thing. What does this blessed man not do? Well, the rest of the verse essentially tells us that a blessed man is not influenced by the sinful world around him. And the psalmist gave these three descriptions of this, and we'll break them down a little bit and dissect them. But at the same time, let's not forget that this is a song. These are song lyrics, and it's also three different ways to say the same thing. All three of these give us a picture of a man who is not influenced by the sinful world around him. But when we read these phrases, a man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, most scholars do note that sort of crescendo effect. The descriptions about the ungodly influences do seem to build. There's sort of an advancement. First, we sort of see this progression of walking to standing to sitting, right? And it's easy to see this sort of downward progression of a person who slows from a walk to standing still and then finally just to sitting down. Just demonstrating that he is settled, he's comfortable with the wicked company surrounding him, no reason to move on from here, I'm where I belong. And that progression is something we need to be warned about, because most of the time we don't wake up and think, today I'm going to be really wicked. Today I'm going to do something so terrible that it will hurt my family or hurt someone else. I want to just surround myself with wickedness today to the point of no return. It's usually not that drastic. It's not like flipping on a light switch. It's more like the dimmer switch, that you can slowly turn down the light until pretty soon it's pretty dark, but you almost didn't realize it was happening. Beware of the slow fade. Beware of this world's slow influence on you. It may not start with you sitting down with the scornful, but if you start to follow the counsel of the ungodly, and you start to stand with the sinners, then that's exactly where it will lead to. So be on your guard daily. There's also a progression in this verse from the influencers themselves, the ungodly, to the sinners, to the scornful. A word for an ungodly person is a guilty, unbelieving person. A sinner is someone who misses the mark of God. But when we come to the scornful, this is someone who doesn't even care. This is someone who mocks God, laughs at God's standards, ridicules His word. And the root of the word scornful here, it's a fascinating word because the root word comes from speaking like a barbarian. When you hear someone speak in a foreign language that you don't understand, what does it sound like? It sounds a little bit like gibberish, doesn't it? Sometimes when children hear a foreign language, they sort of giggle and they laugh because it sounds silly to them. They don't understand it. It just sounds, if you've ever seen Charlie Brown, it's like the adult on Charlie Brown speaking. Well, to a scornful person, That's what God is to them. That's what God's word is to them. It's gibberish. They mock at it. They laugh at it. They don't understand it. It's silly. And so they ridicule it and just flat out do not care. One man wrote, "When laughing at holy things and disobeying holy laws become entertainment, then people have reached a low level indeed." Doesn't that fit much of the world that we live in today? People who laugh at God, who disobey his code, his morality, they laugh at it. It's entertainment for them. They don't care. Those are people that do not need to influence you. If you want to be blessed, don't let people who don't care about God guide your thinking and change your behavior. They may claim to be your friend, but if they try to turn you away from God, if they try to make you doubt what His Word says, that person is not truly your friend. And we all need to hear this, and we all need to be warned. But I especially want our young people to pay attention. There's always been influences in the world, good and bad. And years ago, the number of influences in our lives, they were there, but they were a lot less than they are now. There were still parents and teachers and friends and books and maybe cartoons like He-Man and other things. But now, because of the incredible technology that we have today, more influences are available than ever before. Our world is really small now. There are countless TV channels, websites, social media posts seeking to influence you. Sometimes we might just call it peer pressure. The technology explosion in our world has also caused peer pressure to explode. Multiple studies show the same disturbing trend with young people. Over the past 10 or 15 years, there has been a drastic rise in teenage depression and suicides. And it correlates to the rise of smartphones and social media time. And I'm not the screen time expert, okay? I'm not bashing smartphones, and I'm not saying that all social media is bad. But we better recognize the potential for more ungodly influences being at our fingertips today than ever before. Whether you're 13 years old or 113 years old, be careful about what is influencing you. Don't walk, stand, or sit with ungodly influences. Don't scroll, click, or browse with them. We'll say, what should I do instead? I'm glad you asked. Look at verse 2. A blessed person's not influenced by the sinful world. A blessed person is influenced by the Word of God. Verse 2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Blessed man is not just influenced by God's Word, but it's his delight. That word, I read a definition in a lexicon this week that says this word basically means to feel great favor towards something. That's really simple, but I loved it. To feel great favor towards something. Sometimes the word's translated as desire or pleasure. A blessed person, quite the opposite of the scornful person, does not view the Bible as something silly or useless or something to mock at. A blessed person delights in the Bible. It's a pleasure for that person to read the Bible, hear lessons, hear sermons. If you have favorable feelings about the Word of God, you probably want to spend more time in it and with it. People typically spend their time doing things they like to do. If you don't like football, you probably didn't watch Alabama and Georgia play yesterday. If you don't like music, you probably don't spend your time going to concerts. If you don't like the Word of God, you probably don't spend much time in it. But people who have favorable feelings about the Bible, who delight in it, they want to be in it. They want to come to church and hear sermons and hear lessons. They want to read it and pray over it. The psalmist says he meditates on it day and night. When you see the word meditate here, don't think of some sort of Eastern mysticism where you sit with your legs crossed and, you know, focus on your breathing or something like that. This word, it described a low sound, like the coo of a dove or a lion sort of lowly growling over its prey. It can refer to just sort of a soft moan, a soft utterance. And so it gives the picture here of this person just quietly repeating God's word to himself, maybe even under his breath. Just thinking about it, pondering it. I think we might would say in our language, mulling it over. A blessed person is constantly meditating on God's word. The psalmist says day and night. You spend time doing what you like to do. Do you feel that way about God's word? Do you love it, delight in it, and desire to learn more about it? Do you spend time in it, reading it, softly repeating it, praying about it? Because we need God's word to influence us, or else the world will. We're susceptible all the time to influences. So why won't we root ourselves in God's word so that he will be our influencer? Peter said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. These first two verses force us to ask the question, do I want my life molded by God's word or by this world? Blessed man refuses to allow sinful people to lead him astray. Instead, he shapes his life by what God's word says. And that leads to a life that's grounded and rooted and fruitful, like a tree planted by the water. Look at verse 3, and we get this beautiful description of a blessed man. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Unfortunately, this verse can and has been pulled out of context and misused by those who preach a prosperity gospel. Sometimes we'll use the phrase health and wealth gospel. Yes, God has the right and the ability to physically prosper you if that's his will. And yes, the nation of Israel was promised success if they obeyed God and if they kept their end of the covenant. But this is not a promise of worldly success in anything you do so long as you love the Bible. Boy, I'm going to love the Bible so I'll get rich. We need to understand and should consider that prospering, similar to being blessed, we need to view that in a spiritual light above anything else. And even more than that, if we read this verse from a selfish perspective and focus on the idea of physical prosperity for ourselves, we've completely twisted the point of the verse. The point of the verse is fruitfulness. So think about this. When a tree is fruitful, the fruit benefits others. The tree doesn't eat its own fruit. Animals do. People do. Sometimes it falls on the ground and it's trampled on and planted and another tree pops up. Producing fruit isn't about you. It's about what it might end up doing for others. So why would we read this verse in a selfish manner? But for a tree to be fruitful, it has to be firmly planted. It has to have the water and the nutrients it needs, right? For a child of God to be fruitful, you have to plant yourself in the Word of God. You have to drink from its truth, not worldly influences. The world will lead you away from Christ, but the Bible will constantly point you to Him. Paul told the Colossians to be rooted and built up in Christ. Jesus told His disciples, "Whoever abides in me and I in him, He it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. So the psalmist gives this beautiful picture that a child of God should be like a tree that is rooted and grounded and strong, producing fruit, which is totally different from someone who is ungodly. Notice how he describes the ungodly in verse 4. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Ultimately, ungodly people do not prosper. They may be successful in this life, but they're not truly blessed. They're not truly prosperous. The prosperity will end because they have no foundation for their lives. There's this perfect juxtaposition between a blessed person and an ungodly person here. A blessed person is like a tree planted by the water. There's stability there. There's roots there. But the ungodly is like the chaff that's driven away by the wind. And what chaff was just the husk or the shell, the part of the grain that people can't eat. And when the ancient Jews harvested their grain, what they would do is they would bring it to a threshing floor, which was just a place that had some really hard, packed down ground. They would spread the grain there and used a couple of different methods to just sort of apply pressure to the grain. And that would separate the shell and the husk, the chaff, from the good usable grain, the grain they could eat. And when that was separated, they would take everything up and throw it up. And the chaff was so lightweight that the wind could just blow it away. But the good grain was heavy enough that it would fall back down to the ground. That's how they separated the wheat from the chaff. And that's how the psalmist described ungodly people. Since they're not planted by the waters of God's word, since they have no foundation in their life, ultimately they'll be blown away. And that image becomes very harrowing when applied to the judgment, which is exactly what the psalmist does. Look at verse 5 and 6. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. When the psalmist says that the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, he does not mean that they will not be judged. They will be judged. They will stand before their Creator. But think about the image he just gave. They will be like the chaff and will ultimately be swept away to their punishment. They will not stand before God with anything to offer. They will not stand before Him as righteous. And God will separate the ungodly from the righteous like a man can separate wheat from chaff. You know, God's judgment is always right. He will not make a mistake. He never has and He never will. And that should encourage us in verse 6 to know that the Lord knows the way of the righteous. There's a relationship between God and a righteous person. And that's what salvation is. It's knowing God and having a relationship with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. If you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, God knows you. And you are righteous as opposed to condemned. Paul wrote in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's also a warning in this verse. The way of the ungodly shall perish. If you don't have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, the coming judgment will be a devastating day for you. I hope and I pray that everyone here wants to be the man described in the first three verses. It's what God wants. Sounds better, right? Who wouldn't choose prospering over perishing? But here's the challenge. Do you always fit the description of the man in those first three verses? Are you always that person? Or are there times when you let this world influence you? Are there times when you don't delight in God's truth like you should? Are there days when you feel more like the chaff than the tree because you're not very fruitful? If we're honest, none of us fit this description perfectly and continuously. But there's one who does, and that's Jesus Christ. Jesus never yielded to ungodly influences. He never let the sinful world around him drag him down. Do you remember when Satan tempted him? He stood strong against each temptation. And not surprisingly, he used the word of God as his defense each time. Jesus delighted in the law of God. He meditated on it. He followed it. He fulfilled it. Jesus is the tree planted by the water that prospers and produces fruit. Remember that a tree produces fruit so that others can enjoy the benefit? Have you tasted the fruit of Jesus Christ? Have you ever trusted Him and enjoyed His blessing of salvation that He so freely offers you? The fruit of Jesus Christ is salvation if you'll repent and believe. Ultimately, Jesus is the only man who truly and always fulfills these first three verses. And so it's only through Him that any of us can ever be blessed, that any of us can ever be righteous before God instead of condemned. It's only because of Jesus that any of us can stand in the congregation of the righteous than being swept away with the wicked. So who will influence you? Following the influence of God leads to blessing, but following the influence of the world leads to destruction. If you're lost, this world's influence will lead you straight to an eternity in hell. The way of the ungodly will perish, but that can change this morning if you'll ask God to forgive you and you'll trust in His Son to save you. If you're saved, you can still succumb to negative influences. We've got a whole Bible of children of God who failed and did things they weren't supposed to do, did evil things because they were influenced by some ungodly pressure. Well, that's for our learning and for our benefit that we have those stories. And I thank the Lord that nothing can change our relationship with Him. Your eternity is seated in Christ. But if you listen to the ungodly and the sinners and the scornful instead of the Word of God, you'll forfeit some blessings. You won't be a prosperous child of God, enjoying His peace and contentment and joy and all those wonderful, wonderful spiritual blessings. You won't be fruitful. You won't be helping others. You'll possibly even be hurting them. Like little Matthew when he was watching He-Man and starting to hurt his little brother. It will hurt your witness. So don't walk, stand, or sit with evil influences. Separate yourselves from them. Think about it this way. God will separate the ungodly from the righteous in judgment. So why would we not separate ourselves from ungodly influences today? And know, though, that separation from their influence does not mean isolation from the people. It's that old saying that we need to be in the world, but not of the world. A boat needs to be in the water, but water doesn't need to get in the boat. So in this world, around your friends and your families and your coworkers, you be influenced by God's Word. You delight in the Bible. You meditate on it and soak it up like a tree soaks up water, and let God produce fruit in your life. And hopefully others see that and they're positively influenced through what God's done for you, which is similar to what Jesus Christ did. His life was the ultimate blessing to this world. Let's stand. Let's bow for a word of prayer as we prepare for an invitation. Father, thank you so much for your word. Help us to delight in it, to spend time in it, Lord, to mull over it, and to be influenced by it. God, help us to separate ourselves from ungodly influences. Help us to be positive influences on people in this world, Lord, who do not know you. Use our lives and our fruit, Lord, to change the lives of others and turn them to you. Help us to be good witnesses. Father, thank you so much for Jesus Christ and for the fruit, for his fruit that we enjoy through your grace. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.